Every parent wants their child's school life to be great. So today we're talking to Davinder Jandu, head teacher at Yarnfield Primary in Tisley, who has bags of experience in helping families make the right decisions and easing those school day blues. Welcome back to Brummie Mummies. My name is Zoe Chamberlain. I'm a journalist, author and mum. I launched Brummie Mummies as a community for families to help people to connect both online and in person. My goal is to share with you stories from the most inspiring people to help you find out how they juggle family life and everything that comes with it. Davinder has suggestions on how to choose the right school, what questions to ask and clues to look out for, and what to do if your chosen school is oversubscribed. She offers advice to families who may be struggling. We all know that tantrums in the morning and clinginess in the playground is no fun for anyone. And she talks about what's being done to help kids catch up post-lockdown and how to make the transition to high school easier. So, hi, Davinder. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Zoe. Hello, everybody.
So, I know having a child starting school can be such a daunting prospect for parents and children. What can you say to put them at ease?
I think the first thing is to say that it's part of the natural process. The first part of when a child, when you first have your child, you're their teacher and you've taught them everything that you can. And then it's important that the children then start to join a wider group, a wider social group. So it's about knowing your child and looking to have that best fit and that best match with what your child needs as you start looking for the school. So if your child has a particular interest in being outdoors, then look for a school that's got a good outdoors early years space, because that's where your little one is likely to thrive most. If your child has likes to be indoors and has a creative, imaginative mind and likes role play, then look for an early year setting that promotes the role play indoors, so that transition from home to school has that element of familiarity for the children.
Yes. So what are your tips on making sure that you find the right school for your family?
I think the thing that's most important, and I know that we read what's in the media and we look on the websites, and absolutely it's important to do your homework about the school. But for me, the thing that's most important is that the values and what the school's ethos resonates with you as a family. So go and visit the school, go and see the school when the school is in full action on a normal day, and get a feel of what's happening. And I always say to everyone, you know, life is about the fact that if your head, your heart and your stomach all sync, then you know it's right. So if you go into a school, walk around, have a look to see what's happening, what the children are doing, and all the time kind of look to see how you're feeling about what you're seeing, because what's right for one child and one family may not be right for another. So absolutely go and have a look around the school, ask questions, ask lots and lots of questions till everything feels right for you. No question is ever a silly question, and there's no such thing as too many questions. So absolutely do your homework, but most importantly, go and visit the schools and get that feel for yourself.
So is it possible to go in and arrange, just to call up and arrange to visit in when the school's in action, as it were, rather than waiting for an open day or open evening?
Absolutely. I would say that, you know, if you're looking for a school, you want to make sure that relationship between yourself and the school is a positive one where the school is accessible. So do ring up the school and ask to make an appointment to come and have a look at the school. I personally think it's really important to see the school on a normal day. And all schools I know are willing to have parents come into school. Under the current climate, you may be asked to do a lateral flow test, but outside of that, absolutely make an appointment, ring up the school. If a school says they only are going to have their open days, that says something to you about whether that's right for you or it isn't. So every step that you take, do what is right for you, and as long as it resonates with you and it syncs with what you believe, then you know that that school is going to be right for your child.
So what kind of questions should you be asking as you go around and visit the school?
I think that it's about finding out what the school does to help the children settle in. Is there flexibility? Because for some children, they go into school on day one because they've been to preschool and nursery and they're ready to go. Other children need a slower, staggered start into starting their school career. So finding out what does the school offer in terms of that flexibility of when children start. Also to find out what the expectation is from the school that the families do. So, you know, most schools will say they would like their children to read regularly at home. But what does the school do to help the parents know what to do? So what's that communication like? Because like any relationship, communication is absolutely vital. And so asking the questions around how what you have for lunch, what happens at the beginning of the day, what happens at the end of the day, so that you've got a flavour of what your child will be doing as the day goes on. Asking for copies of things like the school menu, asking whether you're able to come in and taste the food, because that's a key part. Because when your child starts school, if they have a school dinner, that probably be one of the few first times that your child will be getting a meal that you haven't prepared. And I think, as you know, I've got a 24-year-old now, but I remember how it feels to hand over your child to somebody that you haven't necessarily chosen. And so all ask those questions about the things that are most important for, so that you have a clear picture of what it's going to be like if your child was to be in school, in that school, and what that day would look like.
So as you walk around, what kind of signals and signs should you be looking for?
I would be saying it's about those relationships. What's those relationships between the children and the adults? What's the relationship between the adults amongst themselves? Is there a positive feel and a positive vibe around the school? And look and see, you know, are the children happy and content? Is there that buzz of when children are enjoying their work and enjoying being there? Because if your child is happy in school and they're settled, then they will thrive. So look for those happy faces and look for those relationships. And again, you know, if what you see syncs, if your head, heart and stomach sink, then you know that it's the right place for your child. Because the content of what's going on in the classes is that the teaching is happening and your child will slot into that teaching if those relationships and the atmosphere is right. And then look at the sort of the expectations, have a look at the work, open a book and think, yeah, does the presentation look right? Are expectations high? But they are all secondary. It's about how your child's going to be fitting in and whether the other children in school are happy and they enjoy being there.
So I'm really hearing from you that, you know, it's a lot about trusting your instinct, really. And do you think you should be asking your child for their reaction as well, especially, you know, if you've taken them around with you?
Definitely. And, you know, ask them, you know, would they like to go to that school? And what do they like most about it? Because then if that's a school where your little one starts, that's a good place to then take that conversation. Because when you're saying you're going to start so-and-so school, at that point you can say, do you remember when you went and we saw the trains, or we saw the climbing frame? And so the children are able to make that connection. So absolutely ask those questions to your little one as you go through.
What about Ofsted reports? I mean, what should you do if your local school has had a more negative Ofsted rating?
I think the Ofsted reports are a snapshot in time, and we know when, you know, when you're in Ofsted window, and when you get the phone call for an inspection, it's less than 24 hours. So Ofsted are seeing the school as it is, but schools are forever evolving places. You know, we have schools that have got an outstanding judgment, but and that judgment is 12 years old. And lots of things have changed in that school. You know, look to see what's happened, read the Ofsted report, but go and have a look at the school and look to see what has changed. And is what you're seeing in the report a reflection of what you are seeing when you go into school? Because, I mean, for instance, Yarnfield's been on a very positive journey, and we had a monitoring visit recently, but our full Ofsted report was in 2018. The school has moved on a huge amount since then. And so I would, you know, if a parent was coming to Yarnfield, I'd be saying, yeah, read the report, come and have a look at the school. But the report is a good place to start asking some of those questions, because then you can see, is that still how the school is, or is it different now?
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, it's a good starting point for questions. So I know a lot of parents end up feeling quite disappointed if they don't get their chosen place. If your chosen school is oversubscribed and you're worried that you're not going to get a place, what should you do? Do you think, is there anything that you can advise?
I think the first thing I'd say is cast your net a little wider, because think about why you've got that as your chosen school. Is it because of things that you've heard? Have you been to see that school? And then to think, okay, right, these are the top five things I would want to see in a school for my child. Go and visit five schools and then see which one best fits yours. So it may be that the oversubscribed school isn't the right school for your child. So then that you can close that worry down. If you are if you're in a catchment area, and there is an oversubscribed school, the school has an admissions policy, and every school has to put that on their website. So check the website, and the admissions policy, it always says that if you're a looked after child, you get priority. Then if you have a child with special needs, then it is a sibling in the school. And then it comes to your catchment. So if you live in a close vicinity of the school, or if you're further away. So if you know that you only live a stone throw away from the school, then you are more than likely to get your place. If you live further afield, then you know that there's a possibility that you may not get that place in that school. So then start to cast your net wider and start looking to avoid any disappointments, because when the when that email hits your inbox or that letter hits your mat at home, what you don't want to do, if you can help it, is to show disappointment to your youngster, because then that's their first impression and they will think, yeah, this is not a good thing. So it's about looking at as many schools as you can, cast your net wide, go and see all of them, and then just kind of prepare yourself to think, okay, if the admission policy says X, Y, and Z, how close to that those criteria am I?
We've had some questions in, actually. One of our Brummie Mummies, Emma, has said, she's asked if you could tell us a bit more about the selection process. She says there are misbeliefs that head teachers are able to award spaces, and she feels that really clear and concise confirmation as to how applications are processed would be super useful. Could you give us a bit more information about that?
Absolutely. So you fill your application form in, and that goes to the City Council, and then it's distributed back out to schools according to the number of first and second choices that parents have put. The allocations are done according to the admissions policy, as I said earlier, you know, check the website, but generally the admission policies always go in the order of a looked after child with special needs, if you've got a sibling in school, and then the attachment of how close you are to the school. So you can kind of start to do some of that selection process yourself, because you can think, right, yeah, okay, so my child hits this criteria or doesn't hit this one. So you can start to judge, work out where you might be. And then it's about the number of places that are in the school. So at Yarnfield, we are a 3-form entry primary school, so we have up to 90 children in our reception. So look at how big the school is, because if you're a 1-form entry school, then you can only have 30 children max, because in early years, classes can't be bigger than 30. So that will also help you to gauge. Head teachers, we don't have a say. We don't see, the only list we see is a list of our first and second choices, so that we know how many places we've got. The only other criteria would be if it's a faith school, where they have a part of their criteria would be that they, you need to attend the church or the mosque or the temple, but that criteria will also be in. But absolutely, head teachers have no say, and we wouldn't want to, because we, our schools, and I think I speak for every primary head teacher in the land. We're all inclusive schools. We want to. It's important, and certainly is important for me as a principal, is that we have a true reflection of the society that we live in, so that our children learn to work alongside a variety of people. And so it's important that we do have that whole sort of, representation of society. So I don't think any head teacher would be wanting to select. But absolutely, no, we don't have a say.
Thank you for explaining that really clearly for us. We've had another question from a mum, Samantha. She's asked for your opinion on compulsory school age starts for summerborns. And if you've had any evidence for and against a delayed start in reception rather than year one. And Corinne has also asked a similar kind of thing. Do you have many CSA starters in your school?
So at Yarnfield we don't, and there isn't a lot of strong evidence to show that children who are summer born need to have that delayed start. What I'd say is that the biggest difference between, so the reception, the nursery reception years are called the early years, foundation years, and then we go into key stage one for year one and two. They're called the foundation key stage because that the experience that the children get in nursery and reception are lay the foundation for future learning. So I would be saying that get your child into school as soon as they are, the year that they are five. So they've got that length of time to build on, to get their foundations skills in. You're learning in the early years, it's learning through play, and children are able to learn to interact with each other, develop their inquisitive skills, develop the skills of interacting, turn-taking, all of those things. And the earlier we can get the children into school to be able to do that, the better it is for them. Having said all that, if a parent wanted to delay that start, a child legally doesn't have to be in school till the term after they are five. I would say if that's something that you're thinking about, then look at a gradual process. So, in the autumn term, when your little one has just turned four, really, then you might think, okay, I'd like them to go to school for some of that time, so part time, and then to build on that. The children also start in the foundation, the reception, start to do their phonics and do those building blocks for reading. So the longer that they are not in school, the more difficult it is for them to be able to catch up. So have a conversation with the school, and every child is different, but I'd absolutely say get your child into school at the start of the autumn term.
Some really useful information here, Devinda. Thank you. I wanted to ask you about something that we've been debating on the Brummie Mummies Facebook page, and that is the prospect of a longer school day to help children to catch up. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's there's been lots of conversations at sort of ministerial level about extending that day. I think it's about capturing the age of a child. So in secondaries and within Summit Learning Trust, our year 11s have session 5, so they have an extra hour every day to catch up. But they and they're 15, 16, they're older, and that adding that extra hour to their day is only going to be positive. It's not going to have a negative impact. For our youngest children, adding time onto their day is makes them tired. So it's about how responsive will they be, and what will be the impact of extending the day. So I think it's age appropriate. What we do at Yarnfield is we have extended our day in the sense that during COVID we had a staggered start. We started at 8:30 so that to avoid bubbles and mixing. We've kept that. So we've kept that flexible 15-minute start in the morning because we actually found that it was good for our children. It gave our children time to come in and settle. And we've got a slightly longer day at the end. So we have a staggered finish at the end of the day, but parents can collect their children when they collect the last child. So for some of our children, they've got an extra 15 minutes in the morning and they've got an extra 15 minutes at the end of the day. And that has shown and that's proven to be really, really positive. And the impact that that's had on the children has shown that they are ready to learn and that that day isn't too long. And then we have extended our day for some of our year sixes for those children who just need that extra little bit of support and have the stamina to extend their day. So I think it's about checking in and making sure that, you know, we're not just doing it for the sake of, and children are having are gaining a benefit from it, and then it's about looking to see, right, what's the most creative way to do that, because we all know and we all recognize that you know, families did a fabulous job during lockdown and with home learning and remote learning. But for some children, they have lost some of that learning. And so we need to look at what's the best way to do that. And sometimes extending the day isn't, because the children, that child may not have the stamina, as I said, to be able to sustain and gain the most from it. But definitely according to age.
And there's a tailored approach rather than a one size fits all.
100%, Zoe. I think, you know, I think that's what we have to be careful of, is that we don't do one size fits all. Because the flip side of that is we could have children who are then disaffected.
Yes.
The day is too long. Yeah, tailor fit to the individuals.
Yeah, yes. So how important is it for a school to have connections with the local community, and is that something that parents should ask about as they're visiting a school for the first time?
Community is something that you know, there's a saying, isn't it, it takes a community to raise a child, and certainly at Yarnfield that is absolutely the case. So community is so important, and I think that personally, I think that, you know, one of the positive things about COVID has been that communities come back in the forefront, because we now do look out for each other a bit more. We notice when we haven't seen somebody for a while, and people are more willing to speak to each other. And I think, you know, a few years ago, I think that was going. So now I think for schools, we are in a prime position to be a key person in bringing that community together. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you've got a bit of time and you want to go and do a bit of voluntary work in a school, you know, go along to your local school. It's something that Yarnfield, we are encouraging and promoting, because, you know, earlier on Zoe asked the question about extending that day. But sometimes it's about that resource, about resources. So if there are people who in the community who are able to come into a school and hear children read or do some cooking with them or some activities, all of those things enrich what happens to you know, in a children's, in a child's learning experience. So I think communities are really, really essential. And I think, you know, the more that we reach out to schools, reach out to the community and vice versa, I think only the children are the ones that will benefit the most.
Yes. In fact, enrichment is something I wanted to ask you about as well. Do you think it's really important that schools offer after school clubs? And has that been really quite affected by COVID?
Yes. Offering after school clubs is something that helps the child to develop their personal skills and have an opportunity to do some of the things that they may not get to do if schools didn't have the after school clubs. So it's absolutely a key part. Some schools buy in external services, and so companies, there's lots and lots of companies who are willing to go into schools. That obviously comes at a cost. Lots of schools use their own resources and staff, volunteer to run after school clubs. But it's about ensuring that we enrich the children's experiences, and we do that in an environment that they're already familiar with. The after school clubs are something that, you know, I think sometimes parents will use after school clubs because it works for childcare, and that absolutely is one strand. But it's also about the other strand is about, okay, so, you know, we talked earlier about the child's day and their stamina and what they can gain and extending the school day. Having after school clubs that give you an opportunity to do different things will probably be more fruitful for the children than more of the same. So I think after school clubs, definitely. So, you know, and it's about that enrichment of opportunity.
It's a good chance for them to learn some life skills, isn't it?
Absolutely. And think, you know, and because you only know, you only know what you're interested in if you have a go. And so if we offer a range of after school activities, you then think, well, do you know what, I went to drama and I actually really like drama, or I did singing and not for me. Then you, as an individual, as children, you're growing and understanding yourself, because you're able to think, right, this is where, these are things I like, these are my strengths. And it also teaches children skills of resilience and perseverance. So if you're like me and not very good at sport, you can either give up on the first day, or you're signing up for 6 weeks, so you've got to do it every week, and then you build your resilience to that. So it's also giving children the chance to build those other skills as well.
And we've seen that's been more important than ever throughout the pandemic, and being kind of at home schooling and things like that. I know that the COVID obviously has had an impact on school life. Has it meant that you've missed out on some enrichment activities?
Absolutely. So last academic year, there were no after school activities, because we were everything was in a bubble. So, you know, the chance of didn't want to make sure that you mixed bubbles. Some schools did after school clubs, but on a very, very slow, staggered approach. What we found at Yarnfield is that initially that take up wasn't, the children weren't hungry for the after school clubs, and some parents were quite reserved about sending their children to after school clubs. So we're seeing that momentum pick up now. And part of that is during lockdown, we also, because we didn't have the chance to socialise with each other as much as we had previously. And for some youngsters, that became the norm. And so, what they want to do is at the end of the day, they want to go home because that's where they've spent a big chunk of their time. So if a school does offer after school clubs, get your child there because we want to get those social skills and that interaction with a greater range of people up and running as soon as we can so that, we've got confident youngsters.
Are you finding that particularly with new school starters in reception that they seem different to previous years because they haven't had that social interaction?
There's definitely a difference between reception, but also year one and year two, because some of those children, their previous years weren't complete years. So they missed out in their reception year, they missed out in their year one year. So this idea of attending an after school club is like, oh, not sure, I just want to go home. Absolutely encourage your children to attend the after school clubs because there is a difference. The children this year are not as hungry for those additional activities as they have been previously. So I think COVID has absolutely had an impact. And for children's mental health and well-being, we need to get them out. We need to get them doing things and need them to go back to life as normal as possible. So social interaction is absolutely key.
Do you think some of the children have found either starting or coming back to school more nerve-wracking than before?
I think children coming back to school, I think children have been more enthusiastic. What we found is that the children have missed coming to school. So the fact that they are now back and they haven't got the restrictions of bubbles are now... their enthusiasm is much, much greater. From somebody who's been in school since she was five, I think that hunger for school is probably at its greatest, and that appreciation of the fact that school is a good place to be it just kind of oozes out of the children and the parents as well.
So once you've got a school place for your child, what can parents do to make that transition into school easier for their child? I know you've talked a little bit about saying, do you remember we saw the climbing frame and we saw the train set and things like that. What other things can people do to make it easier for children?
So the first thing I'd say is don't go and buy their uniform on the day that you get the confirmation that your child is starting school, because they grow and they grow so quickly that the uniform won't fit. But walk the route so that your child becomes familiar with the way that they will go to school. Go past the school and so that you can sort of have a peep through and say, oh, look, can you see that that's going to be your classroom? The school will invite you back in for open days and some transition days so that children will get an opportunity to see that, meet their class teacher and be in the classroom when it is theirs. So every class, every school, has a transition day. So the reception class, those children move up to their year one class for at half a day or a day, and the new children come in, so the children have the opportunity to be in that class. That's going to be their class. You walk backwards and forwards from school. So you've got the route, make links with the school. And if the school's got events happening, such as summer fairs or anything that's open to the public as well, go along so that you are meeting that community. You're meeting some of the people that are going to be in the school when your little one starts, and just a sort of a drip feed of things that give your little one the notion that they are going to go to school. Don't buy them a pencil case because they won't need it. buy them a really cute lunchbox that they like, and a nice little rucksack that they're going to put the rucksack, their lunchbox in, and then talk about the, you know, the school shoes that they're going to need. And so just week on week, just a little bit about this is what you will do to get you ready for school. Start doing some looking at and sharing books with your child, if you haven't done so already. Take them to the local library and get them sort of just to be able to sit on the train in the local library and just look through a range of books and just be able to pick a book. Point out letters to them as they're walking along the street so that they can see the letter sounds. Don't be overly pushed to think, right, let's get the formal bits done, because they will be picking up a pencil and they will be writing their name. It's that sort of understanding that there's going to be a change of environment, and what that environment's going to look like, because it's like all of us, isn't it? Even as adults, if we know there's a big change coming on the horizon, we have to build ourselves up to it gradually. If we ignore it and think it's not going to happen, it's more of a shock to our system. So it's just that gentle drip feed.
Yeah, because it is a big thing for them to get their heads around, isn't it? I knew a little girl who was really excited about starting school and went and had a great day. And then the next morning said, oh, have I got to go again? She thought she'd done school in one day.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Zoe, what's really, what happens is children come to school and they start and they really enjoy it, and they get a bit tired. And then I always say that November is the hardest month for a five-year-old, because they've been to school, they've done it, the novelty's worn off. It's dark when they get up, it's dark when they're going home, and there are no holidays in November, so they've got no break. So that's when you'll find that your youngster is at their most sort of tearful, and it isn't because they're unhappy at school or anything is happening. It's because they have done school, the novelty's worn off, and they're just tired. But yeah, absolutely, the novelty's worn off, hasn't it, by November. So it's drip feeding them through.
I mean, do you have any suggestions as to what parents can do if their child is feeling a bit upset or nervous about going into school in the morning?
It's about talking about the positives. So, I say to people, right, so before you go to bed, say, you know, think of three good things that have happened, so that there's those positive thoughts. And, you know, if the children are going to dream about something, it's positive. And then in the morning, talk about, oh, today, remember you're going to do, and keep the positives going, because sometimes children will say, so-and-so hurt me, so-and-so isn't speaking to me. And as a parent, your instinct is to draw into that, because that's your little one and they are unhappy. But sometimes children don't know why they're unhappy. They just don't want to go to school. So it's about flipping it around, having a more positive mindset and thinking about the positive things. And children will very quickly then think, oh, yes, I'm going to do this when I go to school today. And then they start to get into the mode of, yeah, I'm going to attend school and it's going to be fine. So three positive things before they go to bed, three positive things first thing in the morning, and keeping it all positive, and the positive experiences. If your child isn't settling, then, you know, do go and talk to school. The school will keep that communication going with you all the time as well. But do it away from your little one. Talk to the teacher, ask for a time that the teacher can meet up with you. Because what if your little one hears that, because if they see that you're upset, which is absolutely natural, then they'll think that there is something to be worried about. So have those conversations with the school, meet up with the class teacher, but don't do it in front of your little one.
Yes. And what about at the end of school, the end of primary school? What can parents do to help to make the transition to high school easier for their child?
Okay, so what I'm going to say about secondary is my daughter, when she went from primary to secondary, the biggest shock wasn't for her. The biggest shock was for me, because the level of independence, you go from being this parent who your child needs you for everything, and then they move into being this extremely independent person. So some of that transition is about how parents also cope with their child moving to secondary. And again, secondary is it's that whole independence thing, because when they go to secondary, they've got to take a bag and they've got to carry their books. They've got to make sure they've got the right equipment in school with them. On the right day. So start to look at some of those organisational skills. So you might want to set some sort of tasks for your child leading up to them going to secondary. So, you know, asking them to pack their own lunch if they have a packed lunch, and then just checking in to make sure that they've got the right things in there. And then putting a timetable up and saying, right, you know, PE in when they're at primary, PE is on a Wednesday. You need to make sure you've got your PE kit, checking that they've got their own resources. So all the things that we do as parents when our children are at primary, we'll get things ready for them. So start to have that transition of getting your child to start doing those things for themselves. Our children, the number of children over the years, the thing that they find the hardest about going to secondary is carrying their bag all day. And they haven't, you see, they go to primary, they come in, they hang their coat up, they put the bag down, and then they don't have to carry anything again. And you go from that to carrying everything. So, you know, getting them used to carrying, you know, help them carry the shopping. So they're just getting used to carrying a few things. So that's one. And the other is about, you know, things like reading a timetable, because again, at primary, they're in the same class, they are and the timetable's on the wall, and things are pretty much the same every day. When they get to secondary, they've got to know that if it's, you know, some secondaries have like a week A and a week B, they've got to know which week's which, what books have they got to get ready. So getting them to start looking at how timetables work. Primary schools, we will do that as well in the second half of the summer term, and get some of those skills. If your child's got additional needs, special needs, then try and get make contact with the secondary school and ask for additional transition days, because that's really important. And if you think your child's going to be somebody who's going to struggle with settling into a new environment, then again ask for additional transition days. And just so, as we're saying about, you know, when your 5-year-old starts and you're selecting that school and you go and have a look, again, it's vital, again, I think, to, you know, go and see the secondary schools in action, because the open day will only give you a flavour of one aspect of what that school looks like. You want to see what the school looks like when it's full of all of those youngsters, including the very tall 16-year-olds, and again, having that same thing about making sure that your head, heart, and stomach sink when you walk around that school and you imagine that your child. But getting them to become more independent is an absolute key for secondary.
Oh, well, thank you so much for talking us through all these tips and ideas and advice, Davinda. That's been really, really helpful.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And if anybody has any questions, Zoe, and they send them to you, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you. Davinda's approach is reassuring and makes you realise how much you can do as a parent to make school life go well for your child. Pick up more tips and ideas from Davinda on our Brummy Mummies Facebook page and on the Birmingham Live website. This is a Laudable production brought to you by Brummy Mummies and Birmingham Live. You can download or stream the podcast on all major platforms, including Spotify and Apple. Be sure to follow our Brummy Mummies Facebook page for lots more family information. And whilst there, sign up to our free newsletter to make sure you never miss an episode. See you next time.